This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, August 11th, 2019. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio today on this somewhat transitional summer, spring, fall. We don't know what weather it's going to be out there today, but it feels awfully nice. And Dr. Rozelle is probably out there playing in that nice weather as well, too. So I am filming. I'm Dr. Stephanie Pina, a naturopathic physician and licensed acupuncturist at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And, of course, when Dr. Rozelle goes out and teaches or is learning himself, we get to run the air show, and I don't have to do it alone. My guest in studio today is going to be bringing up a great big topic that I think every single one of us has always looked at our lab tests, always had this probably conversation with our doctors. We know someone who's affected by what would look like a big metabolic issue or a big cardiovascular issue, but what's the issue is cholesterol. And to get through this cholesterol lecture, and your presenter for this Wednesday night on August the 14th at the Rozelle Center for Healing at 7 p.m. is Mary Jane Bembernick. How are you doing, Mary Jane?
Thank you, Dr. Pina. That was a wonderful introduction.
We were talking back and forth because there's so much more that goes into talking about cholesterol than the actual cholesterol numbers and what you get on a lab test. But, you know, lab testing for cholesterol is done pretty much on every single panel. Every time we do an annual test, we have patients that bring in their cholesterol numbers. But really what we need to do is find out, what is this all about? Is there more to it than we need to know? So that's going to be obviously your topic on your lecture of how to talk to your doctor about cholesterol this Wednesday night. And we hope everyone comes out and joins us, but that's going to be the topic for today. And if you have any questions too, as we're going along, feel free to give us a call. We are live in the studio, and the number here is 1-888-630-9625. Again, that's 1-888-630-9625. So Mary Jane, let's talk about cholesterol. And first of all, is it all bad? Is it all good? Like, what's the biggest misnomer you'd say about when as patients come in, the biggest question that they always have to ask about it, but then also what we have to think about it when we give them information?
I think the most frequent question that I get is like, can I eat eggs? You know, because a lot of people associate, you know, cholesterol and eggs are bad because cholesterol is bad. But, that's really not, correct. You know, we need cholesterol. You know, cholesterol has, a lot of functions in the body, and we're better off having it than not having it.
So let's start there. Let's talk about what we actually need it for, because if we have too high or too low ranges, obviously that's going to affect our overall health. And as preventive medicine practitioners, we're kind of looking for that functional range. So let's talk about what we actually use it for. If it was so bad, we would just get rid of it completely, be gone. But at the same time, now, why do we use it in the body? What do we really need it for? What does it work as a base backbone for?
Well, you know, one of the main reasons why we need cholesterol is because we need it to make steroid hormones, you know, to make, you know, the estrogens, the progesterones, the testosterones, you know, et cetera. So without cholesterol, you know, you're not going to be able to make the hormones. And I think everybody knows that, you know, hormones are, you know, very vital to our lives. And the other thing too is, cholesterol is a component of cellular membranes as well as the organelles that are inside the cells. And I'm all about membranes because, they're the filter of what goes into the cell and what goes out of the cell. So, you know, healthy membrane equals healthy cell equals a functioning cell, you know, so that cell can do what it's designed to do.
And we also need it, too, for – we have fat-soluble vitamins as well, too. So we need it to help produce them, but also get those fat-soluble vitamins into our digestive – through our intestinal lining, so we use them as well, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So when we're thinking about cholesterol, you know, it's there's an amazing number that most people don't realize is that I think it's 40 to 50% of people with normal cholesterol issues have heart disease. It's more than just the LDL, that bad cholesterol number, or the HDL, that good cholesterol number. There's more to it, which is exactly what why this one, this program is important, not only in the radio, but you're going to be on the in-house lecture. But essentially, we also need to look at why else are people just looking at cholesterol numbers to predict their heart health? There's a lot of other factors that we need to look at as well.
Right. And that's what we're going to, you know, talk about in detail is, you know, it's not just cholesterol, you know, it's triglycerides, it's the low density lipoproteins and the high density, you know, lipoproteins. And how does that relate back to the cholesterol number?
So you brought it at the beginning, eggs being the number one question that you hear.
Right.
I think a lot of people come in and they basically say, you know, I have a family history of cholesterol issues. I may have been diagnosed with that, like, oh, my high cholesterol is just because it's genetic. But then they come in with their lab scores that they do on an annual basis, and basically that's making up, you know, total cholesterol, maybe VLDL, which is that very low density. We're going to go into all those little fun facts and figures for everybody. The LDL, the bad cholesterol, and the HDL, and the total triglycerides. And, oh, there's a ratio between the two of them, and if it doesn't meet those particular standards, then automatically it means I'm going to be put on a medication based off of standards that were started in 2013 and have been recently updated. But really it's more about learning more about the actual how things are broken down in the body too, right?
Right. And the other thing too is, you know, my undergraduate work and studies was in medical technology. And so I used to work in a hospital laboratory performing these lipid assays. And back many decades ago, the normal range for cholesterol was 250. And, I mean, it's no longer, you know, that number. I think now a normal is considered less than 200. So things have really changed, you know, over the last, you know, two to, you know, four decades.
And so when we think about this, too, as that number has changed, I mean, we have more heart disease now, but is it because of cholesterol's fault, we'll say, or is there other factors?
There's other factors, and it's the S word. You know, I think it's the S word that everybody wants to avoid, and that's sugar. But sugar is creating more cardiovascular disease than the fats.
And you mentioned, too, the change in the numbers. And what's interesting is I feel like when we're above those numbers, most medical doctors will say statins are the first thing that we start with. Obviously, in the office, we tend to disagree, but we need to kind of see, like, if someone's already coming in, what do we need to do as far as a workup panel, and what other factors are we looking for if someone's worried about, especially cholesterol and heart disease? We know that you were mentioning we'll go into hormones as well, too, but with heart disease, what other things do we look at outside of the box that they may not be looked at when they're going to a regular doctor's appointment?
Well, the regular doctor is only going to look at, you know, four parameters, the cholesterol, triglyceride, LDL, and HDL. And, you know, we offer the ability for the patient to have run a particle count, which is actually going to look at, you know, how many particles do you have? Are they fat? Are they dense? Are they buoyant? You know, are they tiny? You know, how many do you have? So that's really very critical to, you know, analyze, you know, your potential risk, you know, if you do have risk.
So this Wednesday, August the 14th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Virginia, Mary Jane Bembernick is going to be talking about cholesterol and how to talk to your doctor about it, and also just be more informed about it. Why is cholesterol important? But again, is it one factor in a larger group of factors that looks at cardiovascular health, but overall health as well, too? If you want to sign up for this, and I definitely think it's going to be a packed house, you have two ways you can sign up. You can call us at the office at 703-698-7117. Again, that's 703-698-7117 and sign up. And then you can also go online if you go to RozelleCare.com, our website, and you can actually click on where it says how to talk to your doctor about cholesterol, And there'll be a way to register to sign up as well, too. And you'll get an email confirmation, just like any of the other in-house lectures we have. And there's the next few are actually listed there as well. But we always have patients come in with these questions when we see them in the office. But wouldn't it be nice to get some of this answered in a more informal setting where you can get the education instead of just having your numbers kind of given to you and say, oh, you're at high risk, low risk. We need to start this medication or even the supplement without knowing what's going on in the body? What's the physiology behind it? So I would like to get into, if we think about foods with fats in there, we're thinking about animal proteins and stuff. Is it only animal proteins where cholesterol come from, or did it come from other sources?
I can't answer that question, Dr. Pina, because that's my second slide on Wednesday. So there are going to be a little quiz, and that's, you know, one of the questions. So I'm going to defer until Wednesday.
So you have to come in order to know the answer to that question. It's a good lead-in.
Yes.
But when we look at it, too, we do know that the liver is a main key organ factor in cholesterol production and kind of taking some of the stuff, the fats and stuff that we're getting from the intestinal tract and breaking things down and basically sending it out to the body and then receiving it back. How do liver issues tend to affect cholesterol? If there's too much cholesterol, is it going to shut down the liver? Is that going to create more cholesterol? Or do we even have to worry about liver health at all?
Well, I think we do have to, look at liver health, because a lot of people think that fatty liver is associated with cholesterol, and fatty liver isn't associated with cholesterol. Fatty liver comes from, excess carbohydrates, excess, triglycerides.
So in those cases, we're almost seeing the cholesterol in that fatty liver diseases, we'll say, because there is multiple sources of it, be a product, again, of something else that looks like it's a cholesterol issue.
Right. Correct.
Right. So that's where we have to kind of learn a little bit about what's going on with the rest of the body. So I'm assuming then, from a nutritional standpoint, those diet diaries that we send people out with is another source of kind of getting information that says, maybe we need to look at some other markers as well.
True. Yeah. And also, too, we need to look at, what is the patient, eating? What kind of fats are they eating? Are they eating inflammatory fats? Are they eating, anti-inflammatory fats? So, there are, two categories.
Right. So we got to think about that. That's a good question, because a lot of times people come in and they say, I hear the benefits of fish oil and omega-3s and omega-6s, but I'm worried about the cholesterol issue. Aren't they the same kinds of fats, and are they doing the same kind of things? But we know that some of those good fats can actually help out with the cholesterol issues as well.
Correct. Correct.
So one of the ways that we take to look at this is there's actually ways of measuring not only the cholesterol particles in greater details, but then there's also a way of measuring those lipid factors. And we've been doing that a couple different ways.
Yeah. And also, too, one of the panels that we're going to go into detail, describing each of the components, one of them is a omega check. So, the person will be able to, see, in black and white, are there omega numbers, where they should be. Are they high? Are they low? Are they adequate? And, is there room for improvement?
And we're going to get into a little bit of the detail of the testing and stuff that we tend to do that's kind of like the outside the box or the extended panel testings, which, are being embraced by a lot of the larger, like, heart hospitals out there. The Cleveland Clinic has one. The Boston Heart Clinic has one. Mark Houston's clinic in Houston, Texas has one as well, too. So this isn't exactly new to us, but it's new to everyone else. So we're going to come back in just a couple of moments, and we'll take it from there. We're talking about cholesterol, and you need to stay tuned. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio, ready to take your calls. And what is the topic of today? It's cholesterol. Yep, we all have had it tested before. And what's amazing is we need to look at it from a different perspective. And that's what we're here to do, because some people have normal cholesterol levels, but then again, they still run into heart disease and hormone issues as well, too. So we need to think about cholesterol outside the box. And that's what your topic's going to be this Wednesday night on August 14th at 7 p.m. with our clinical nutritionist, Mary Jane. And she's going to be taking questions and going over thinking about cholesterol, not only outside the box as far as lab tests, but making sure you really understand what's going on. However, since we're live in studio, too, you can also give us a call if you have any questions today by giving us a call at 1-888- 1-888-630-9625. Again, that's 1-888-630-9625. And we'd love to take your questions on cholesterol or anything else you might have. So Mary Jane, let's talk a little bit about some of the guidelines that are out there where we've been looking at cholesterol levels from the American Heart Association, the American Cardiology Association. You know, they keep changing them. As you mentioned, the levels of cholesterol has gone from normal being 250.
Correct.
About how many years ago was that?
Like 40.
40 years ago. To basically now, you know, we want under 100 for LDLs and our risk factors keep going up. So a lot of these guidelines are based off of risk factors. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And, there's the National Cholesterol Education Program, and, you know, they do list, you know, four different risk factors. And this national cholesterol is part of, you know, NIH, you know, the National Heart, Lung, Blood, and Liver Institute. So they come up with these, you know, guidelines. I think it's not annual. It appears as though it's like every, you know, 3 years, because I was reading some guidelines from 2015 and there was like another set of guidelines, you know, from like 2018. But, you know, they're talking about once again, you know, the size, you know, the number, and also too, you know, which are the components that are involved in thrombosis. And, you know, that's critical because, you know, if you get the thrombosis, you know, you're going to get the heart attack. Right. You know, you're going to get the MI.
So we're thinking in those cases, they're thinking, you know, looking at cholesterol, saying that's the biggest factor. The more of it there, the more that's going to go into the arteries and cause clogs and plaquing and stuff that a lot of people are thinking of, shut down those arteries. And then basically blood can't flow as well. And that causes the damage and basically also the pain, too, of different heart attacks or strokes and stuff as well.
Right. And also too, the cholesterol is there because there's inflammation.
Right.
So the cholesterol is going to repair. Mm-hmm. To correct and get rid of that inflammation.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have to look at not only what's going on. When we think about this, we always think cholesterol is if we lower those numbers, then, oh, everything's going to be fine. But it's also like what's going on in those arteries. What other inflammation factors are possible there? So some of the tests that we're going to talk about during your lecture, but also in the second half of the show, really look at vascular levels, look at sugar levels, like you mentioned, the way the organ systems deal with cholesterol, whether it's high or low as well, too. So we'll end up going into that in just a little bit, but we're going to go to the phones right now. Pat, thank you for calling. How can we help you?
Yes, I was wondering if the doctor could please address familial cholesterol.
Okay. Is this an issue that's in your family?
My father had low cholesterol. My mother has high cholesterol. My cholesterol is running about 198, but I've also been on a ketogenic diet and have requested an NMR breakdown of my cholesterol.
Perfect. And you know what's interesting is a lot of patients, and this is what we find, if they're worried about cholesterol in their family, they are looking for other sources, saying we want to know those other numbers, we want to know those proteins that are breaking down. So the test that you just mentioned, for those that aren't familiar, is what we're going to be going over in the second section and a lot during Mary Jane's program as well on Wednesday night. So it's an excellent question. So when we look at this, is there genetic factors that are related to how we break down cholesterol? It's interesting. You said your father has high cholesterol, but your mother has normal cholesterol?
My father has normal cholesterol. My mother has high cholesterol.
Okay. So when we have a patient that comes in and basically has that situation and they're worried about their concern, if they are starting to get some of this additional testing, where do we also look at?
Well, I want to say hello, Pat. I noticed that you're from Mount Airy, and that's also my hometown. So, you know, we could be neighbors, and this is a chance for us to meet. So, you know, please come Wednesday. But, you know, you said that your cholesterol was, like, less than 200. You know, mine
I'm
is...
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
You said that your cholesterol was under 200?
It was 198, so it's pushing the limit.
Yeah, well, my cholesterol is 289, and
okay.
And I'm not concerned. You know, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned, but, you know, this is where the additional testing would be helpful to find out, you know, how does it break down?
So it sounds like you're actually on the right track already, like looking at
more information than just what's coming from your parents. And then also looking at, you know, how can we make things like the ketogenic diet being one of those diets that obviously is anti-inflammatory, decreasing the sugar content like you were talking about. But that's one of the diets that you work quite frequently with some of your patients, right, that do have cholesterol issues, whether themselves or within their family, right?
Yes, if it's a well-formulated, you know, ketogenic diet. You know, some people, they think they're doing a ketogenic diet, but they're just doing low-carb. But there's benefits to that as well.
So, Pat, if you can, come visit your neighbor, Mary Jane, at the lecture on Wednesday night. We're going to be back in just a little bit, and we're going to talk about, actually, the additional testing that looks beyond your HDL, LDL, and total cholesterol and triglyceride numbers in a little bit. But that is going to be the topic of this Wednesday's in-house lecture at the Rozelle Center for Healing. You can sign up online or give us a call. We hope to see you on Wednesday, but we'll be back in just a moment.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are live in studio here to take your questions about things you tried and applied, natural ways to kind of help your healing and tackling some of those difficult subjects that maybe you don't have a chance to talk to your conventional doctor about, or even if you're seeing a primary, another doctor, a holistic doctor that you're still kind of confused on. This is the great way to get some of that information by listening to the radio show here every Sunday, and also to check out some of our past events and past in-house lectures that were recorded, but also the recordings. You can go to Dr. Rozelle's YouTube channel, which is, you just go to YouTube and look up Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, put it in the Google search or the search engine, and then what that will bring up is there's probably 5 or 6 years of Dr. Tom Rozelle Live radio shows on there. So covering a number of different topics, a number of different speakers, a lot of the ones that you've heard over the years on the radio show as well, too. So I know I always go back to that, and it's a great resource to kind of see how things have even changed from one year to another. How do different perceptions come on it? How do we think about cholesterol from a nutritional standpoint, even from a Chinese medicine standpoint and from a chiropractic standpoint? How does that affect different sides of health? So YouTube, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live is a great way to do that. But then if you want to see everything live in-house, that's going to be the topic of this Wednesday night's lecture on August the 14th at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax, Virginia. If you'd like to come in and hear Dr. Mary Jane talk about cholesterol and how to talk to your doctor about it, no matter who they are, how to talk to your family about it as well, too, and how to just know better information about cholesterol and how it can affect your health, there's two ways to sign up. One, call the office at 703-698-7117. Again, that's 703-698-7117. Or you can go on our website, rozellecare.com. So that's www.rozellecare.com. You can click on the advertisement for the in-house lecture, and that will get you registered. And you're definitely going to want to save your seat, because this is always a popular one. And so Mary Jane is ready to answer questions that you have. But we're live here in studio, continue to talk about this. And our last call was actually a great call, because when she brought up the fact that, you know, there's family risk, now we need to see what we need to take the next step, which is what a lot of the patients that come into our place look for. And looking at, how does cholesterol first get to become good or bad? Is it all good? Is it all bad? What's going on? So Mary Jane, tell me a little bit about, we talked a little bit about the other sources, but is cholesterol only from foods? Where else is it coming from? And why do we need to look at good and bad cholesterol?
Well, before I answer your question, Dr. Pina, I do want to note that, you know, what makes the Rozelle Center for Healing different than your doctor's office is that, you know, when you do make an appointment to see your medical doctor, you know, most likely that visit is going to last anywhere from, you know, let's say 5 to 15 minutes. When you come to make an appointment with us, you know, it could be an hour, you know, for the initial appointment in nutrition, and the follow-up visits would be a half an hour. So, you know, we really devote the time to you, to the patient, to make sure that, you know, you're the focused, you know, we want you to thrive and improve your vitality. But then again, to answer Dr. Pina's question, you know, cholesterol is so important to our body that the body will actually make it. So, even if you don't have any visible or, let's just say, the usual suspects for bringing cholesterol into your body, you know, through the diet, it's going to make it on its own. So, and you're only going to absorb anywhere from 30 to 50% of what you eat. And the body is going to make in the liver and the intestines anywhere from like 6 to 80%. So the body knows what to do.
So when we talk about cholesterol and these numbers again, and, you know, the LDLs, the low-density lipoproteins, so we have a mixture in them. So what is this partly protein and partly cholesterol, and that helps us basically get the cholesterol around the body and the blood system. Since fat obviously doesn't absorb into water, and that's what our blood is, we have to put proteins with it, and so that starts shuttling it through. It's basically kind of like the bus that gets it to where it needs to go. And as it goes along the way, it's either going to go to the cells and be productive and be used up, like for making cholesterol hormones, base, like you mentioned, estrogen, progesterone, cholesterol, also part of vitamin D production as well, too, and also bile salts, which helps to break down fats in itself.
And also cortisol.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of things we need it for, those cell membranes. So you need it for brain health function as well. And essentially when it's kind of done its job, if it's not being utilized, that's where we start to see the sticky factor and where it shouldn't go. But then the good thing is we have our good cholesterol, the HDLs, which are very low density. So it's a lot of protein. And what they do is they pick up that cholesterol on the way back and shovel it back to the liver to basically either be let go of through the feces or to be recycled, usually as bile salts, and to help with fat removal. And essentially what's happening is there are different ways of seeing how much of those proteins are on those different types of particles instead of just looking at your HDL and your LDL numbers. So some of the testing that we do in the office has to do with that. And so I'm going to have Mary Jane's going to go over this much, much more in depth because there is a lot to it. But what's interesting is not just looking at those protein numbers and kind of seeing where's my good cholesterol and my bad cholesterol, but also looking at the metabolic risk that goes along with it. So can you speak briefly, Mary Jane, on what is some of the metabolic risks that we see, you know, if a patient's just coming in, and then what are some of the risks that we actually test for that we might feel perfectly fine, but then usually gives us some more information that there might be cardiovascular issues?
Well, you know, one of the panels that we're going to go into detail on is, you know, the cardiometabolic test. And this panel is going to look at almost 20 different markers. So obviously it's a lot greater than the four markers that your medical doctor is going to be testing on a regular basis. And some of these markers are going to assess your need for, you know, some nutrients that you may be depleted in, as well as, you know, inflammation. You know, do you have, you know, inflammation? You know, where is the inflammation? And, you know, it could be that it's in your vessels. And if it is in the vessels, I mean, that's what we want to know about. And we want to, you know, reduce the inflammation through diet, lifestyle changes, acupuncture, and chiropractic, you know, modalities that we do at the Rozelle Center for Healing.
So even when we're looking at these numbers, you're still not just your numbers, but your numbers are certainly telling us more information in this case than your typical lipid panel that you'd get from your regular doctor on an annual exam. I thought it was interesting that if you were under the age of 20, they said, oh, you only have to test cholesterol once or twice. However, with the rise of obesity in children, they're not looking at that factor saying, well, what's the sugar factors doing? What's the cholesterol factors? Then after that, they also were saying that they don't necessarily need to have a lipid panel done and look at your cholesterols more than once every 5 years. But we have patients that come in clearly every single year they're looking at it. And if you're making changes on this, we need to be able to track and monitor where things are going on as well, too. So clearly when we're testing and the tests that we're talking about are more frequent, are more in-depth, and they're information that still includes the basic stuff that your regular doctors have. So it's not something that you can't just bring back to another doctor and say, look, you're completely unaware of these. We just need to look at it from a functional standpoint.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, if you know, once you do receive the results, you know, from this, you know, cardiometabolic test, and you do have some markers that are elevated, and you could be at risk for, you know, some type of event coming up in the future, you can take them back to your medical doctor, and, you know, he may, you know, recommend that you have some additional testing done, you know, as follow-up. And I will go into more detail as to, you know, what those testings would be.
So cholesterol is the topic of the day. It's the topic of Wednesday, August 14th's lecture, and something that we all get tested fairly frequently, but we need to look outside the box because measuring cholesterol alone does not provide a complete picture and can be very misleading. What I think is interesting too, and it's kind of subtle, but when we look at some of the risk factors, whether it's high blood pressure or other types of cardiovascular disease, one of the risk factors on there is, oh, we need to lower your levels if you have diabetes. We need to lower your levels if you have high blood pressure. You need to lower the levels if you're a smoker. They're making connections that these other conditions or bad habits have effect on cholesterol. So one, if they're not being addressed to begin with, we know we have an issue there, but what are some of the things that you can basically do? We talked a little bit about how the ketogenic diet can be one of those things, and doing it properly. But you also mentioned that there's other dietary things that are a good sound base off that we're going to cover more later. But tell me a little bit more about that. So someone comes in and they say, well, how do I start doing something today?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that you can do today, if you do eat meat, you know, if you do like, you know, your red meat, you know, or your poultry, what I would recommend is that you toss out, you know, anything that would be grain fed or grain finished. You know, you really need to, you know, switch your shopping to grass fed, pastured, grass finished, you know, meat. So that could be the beef, you know, obviously if you're doing, you know, lamb, goat, you know, those animals, you know, are going to be, you know, pastured. But, grain fed, grain finished, you know, animals are unhealthy animals and you're eating, inflammatory meat, which is going to, inflame your body. So you really are what you eat.
And then we looked at the sugars and the carbohydrates as well, too. So kind of learning a little bit more about that, which we really, I'd say a lot of patients that come in, you know, they think the sugars are just the, either the sodas or the candy bar or the chips and stuff. So we don't think about where it's in other foods as well, too. And that's really where you shine because you have to kind of say, okay, if we're taking some of these foods out, what do we put in there in the meantime? And then everyone, of course, says, well, I'm going to miss that. What am I going to do without it? It's my comfort food. So how do you deal with that when someone's trying to make changes in their life, especially if they're doing this for cardiovascular reasons? How do you do as a practitioner to help guide them along the way versus just saying, oh, you just can't do this anymore?
Well, I guess one of the things that I would, you know, we would have a discussion about would be, you know, let's just say, you know, suitable replacements. Like one of my things that I love, you know, drinking right now, and, you know, it may be appropriate for someone that needs to get off the soda. Well, I mean, everybody who's drinking soda needs to stop. I mean, that's a given. But, you know, let's just say, you know, you drink, you know, 3 sodas a day and, you know, how do you stop it? And what do you drink instead if you're not going to drink water? But one of my favorite things right now is, Celestial, seasonings. They have these fruity, zinger teas. You know, there's like a peach, there's a raspberry, there's a blueberry, there's grape. So there's different flavors. And, you know, you could just brew it, strong. And if you, you know, want to make it iced, you know, just add some ice to it. Or the other thing too is if you want that fizzle, if you want that sparkling that you enjoy from soda, you know, add some, sparkling water to it and you have something that's very similar to, soda.
So we look at that and we look at other factors as well. Of course, exercise is always an interesting thing. And, you know, whether if someone's coming in and they're in pain, they kind of go, well, I can't exercise, figuring out what can work for them. Looking at obviously other things that are going to increase their stress as well too, because if you have to have that blood flowing nice and smooth throughout the body, we don't need stressor factors to increase blood pressure. How are someone sleeping? Looking at other factors that are involved with the cardiovascular system that may not be like just blood related and cholesterol related, correct? Those are important too.
Right, correct. And also too, you know, what I've been thinking is, you know, we all want to, you know, return back, you know, we want the vessels of a baby. You know, because, you know, as we start to age, you know, our vessels are becoming less elastic, you know, very hard and rigid. And we need to, you know, make them more flexible. And one of the things that makes them hard and rigid would be the high blood pressure, you know, the plaquing. So we need to get rid of that and turn back the clock.
So I feel like a lot of times, and I've had a friend who went through a personal event and he had a heart attack. And, you know, I remember sitting down and having dinner with him and going, okay, this is what a normal dinner is. As soon as he had his heart attack, now it was time to make all the changes. So we have patients that come in like that, but then we have a lot of patients who are thinking ahead of time saying, I don't want that to be me. Where do I start making these changes? And so that's an excellent question to ask, which more people as they get healthier and they're looking for alternatives, whether that's an alternative diet, alternative exercise, they're looking for something to keep them healthier longer. And doing testing that's beyond just the lipid panel is one way of actually looking at that from a cholesterol standpoint. So you're going to be talking quite a bit of detail on that on Wednesday night's lecture. But some of the things that we are also seeing in those panels, which I think is always interesting, is looking at that metabolic risk. You're looking at glucose levels. You're looking at hemoglobin A1C levels. You're looking at insulin levels, which are things that most people would think of, oh, they're looking to see if I have diabetes. But no, this is that relationship to cardiovascular disease as well.
Right, and I think one of the challenges that I have on a regular basis is, you know, with the patients that are, you know, pre-diabetic and they're still in the denial stage. And what I'm going to be doing is, you know, from these panels, there's also a marker for insulin resistance. So there's insulin resistance. And then there's like, you know, pre-diabetic, and then there's diabetes. So it's kind of like if you didn't get the warning with pre-diabetes, let's work on the warning for insulin resistance so you don't get to pre-diabetic. And then you don't get to diabetes.
So it's interesting to think, oh my goodness, we are what we eat. And then we also, one thing can affect something else, like we always see over and over again. We're going to be right back after this next break, where we're talking about cholesterol and how you can look beyond just the normal numbers that your doctor gives you in order to get a better understanding of your inflammation factors, your cardiovascular risk factors, and your metabolic risk factors that are really going to help not only your cardiovascular health, but the rest of your health as well. We'll be back in just a second.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rosal Live. We are live in studio. This is Dr. Stephanie Pina and Mary Jane, our clinical nutritionist in the Rosal Center for Healing. We are filling in once again for Dr. Rosal, who is out enjoying the fun last bits, I guess, of summer, enjoying himself. We'll assume he's learning or teaching. He's not playing hooky on you. Don't worry. He's going to be back next week. But when he's out, we get to take over the studio and still keep talking about some of these, topics and ideas and answering your questions about how to make better choices, how to be more informed about your healthcare decisions, and basically how to get good resources as far as thinking outside the box as far as your health and your environment. And cholesterol couldn't be more of one of those issues that we need to start thinking outside of the numbers and just the good and the bad. And what does it say on my lab report that I had this month or this year? But how do we look at that in the long run? How does cardiovascular health affect our hormones? How does cardiovascular health affect our brain health as well, too? So some of the ways of looking outside of the box, or the normal box, we'll say in parentheses normal, that we're used to, is going to be covered by Mary Jane this Wednesday night, August the 14th at 7 p.m. Can't believe it's all the way through August already. But if you want to sign up for this lecture, basically you got two ways you can do it. You can give the office a call at 703-698-7117. Or you can go online to rosellecare.com, rosellecare.com. And you can click on the How Do I Talk to My Doctor About Cholesterol, and you can get registered. Seats are going to fill up fast for this one, because you know why? We are getting you prepped for September is National Cholesterol Month. Couldn't come at a better rate. So you should go into September ready to make these changes. So Mary Jane, tell us a little bit of what you're going to cover over on Wednesday night, and who and why should people show up for this lecture that's so important?
Well, I think, you know, regarding cardiovascular disease, I think it's very personal. I think, you know, everybody knows of someone either who's had a heart attack, you know, who's had, you know, stents put in, who's had bypass surgery, or even people, they also know a loved one that has, you know, died, you know, from a heart attack. So, and that's the thing. I remember, like, you know, years ago, there was a pathologist, and that was, you know, why, cardiovascular disease was such a passion for him, is that, you know, death, you know, can happen. There is, you know, like, at least, you know, back in those days, there was, you know, there wasn't a whole lot that they were doing for it. But, you know, things have changed, you know, 20, 30, 40 years or later, you know, that lifestyle changes, you know, has the potential to, you know, change your pathway, you know, change your journey, so that, you know, your outcome, you know, would obviously be positive. But also, too, I mean, if you do, or if you are at high risk, you know, we don't want, we want you to be detected if you're, quote, what they call, you know, the widow maker. So you do get, you know, medical, you know, intervention before, you know, someone's crying, you know, at your funeral. But it's going to, like, help you, you know, have a discussion with your family members, you know, with your friends, as well as, you know, with your doctor, you know, if that conversation is warranted.
So looking at not only good and bad cholesterol, but those other markers, other ways we can look at cholesterol and measuring things from a different perspective, where inflammation's coming into play with this, where sugar's coming into play with this, and so that way we can make the best decisions, really, from whether it's a dietary standpoint or from a lifestyle standpoint. How can you affect your cholesterol and your heart health overall? Hopefully you're going to join us on Wednesday night. Should be a packed lecture, so make sure you register early to get your seat. Once they're filled, they close those doors, and you're going to be on the outside of our glass doors looking and going, I wish I had signed up earlier. We're going to be back next week. Dr. Zell will be back in the seat. Actually, I'll be back with him next week, too. And we're going to be talking about a different topic. But in the meantime, we hope to see you Wednesday night. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Dr. Pina.